Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
While Chicago adjusts to working at home, the Score is there for you.
I appreciate you guys being there for us to listen to.
Everybody's listening. Kudos to you guys. Keep it going. I'm a loyal Score listener. I appreciate it all the time, but more than ever right now with you guys.
We are Chicago's number one sports station, 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station, WSCR and HD Chicago, WBMX HD2 Chicago.
The Score!
Mullion Hall, mornings live at 5 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
Brand Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggs.
With Mullion Hall.
Biggs time.
The Biggs Report with Brand Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggsy.
His name is Brand Biggs.
Brand Biggs talks football with you.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to The Score. Brad Biggs is the football man of the Chicago Tribune, a long-time contributor to the station and a valued friend, and he joins us on the Al Pamani Ford Hotline, Al Pamani Ford in Melrose Park. Big Z!
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Well, you're the man, and got to tell you, having a lot of fun kind of watching the NFL, they are the closest thing to newsmakers we have out there, and and as much as I understand why people want to move the draft, there's a part of me that needs that draft, that wants that draft. I want to be on that wall.
Yeah, I think the draft is going to provide a diversion for people who are seeking, you know, something entertaining outside of their everyday life right now with no sports out there. Normally, that time of year, you've got postseason basketball getting ready, postseason hockey, you've got Major League Baseball, and then you've got the draft, which for a few days anyway can command the majority of the headlines because it's the NFL, and now you've got the pre-draft process, as bizarre as it may be, and the draft a couple weeks off, and that's about it. But the draft is something that always sells hope, I think, to every franchise. They feel like it's an opportunity to add new lifeblood to the organization, to get younger, to get better, and to get more talented. And so the Bears are going to be looking at it in that same way, even though they lack the first-round draft pick, as everyone knows.
Brad, so the league, after refusing to budge on the schedule, April 23rd it is, and they wanted to stick to that. They will make some concessions in the way of allowing teams to contact an unlimited number of rookies, up to three times per week, 1 hour at a time, phone call or video conference. And you think that probably mitigates some of the concerns from teams. I'm not sure if it does. There are two sides of this, and we talked about it at the 5 at 5 a little bit. Number one, you're never going to get the intimacy of an in-person meeting to get to know somebody the way that you want to get to know them. The other part of it is the eye in the sky doesn't lie. And just put on the tape, and maybe this will benefit some guys who overthink the process. What do you think?
Yeah, I think there's truth and validity to both of those things. But I can tell you that the top 30 visits that every club has, those can move guys up boards a little bit, and they can have guys be taken completely off the board. When a team brings in a player for a top 30 visit, that's almost a full day at the facility. So the number of people that prospect is going to interact with is in the dozens. There's a couple dozen people that they're going to come across during the day at the facility. It's not just 6 hours face-to-face with the position coach, coordinator, head coach, and general manager. They take the players throughout the building. They let a lot of people interact with them. And you can get a sense for a guy's character and sort of what he's like when you've got him in that environment around that many different people for that period of time. And so there's real value in that. Can you accomplish that in 3 one-hour FaceTime chats during a week? No. I talked to a scout last week, and he said, you really need someone's body language when you're calling them out on something. And some of these prospects are going to be called out on various things that clubs might have questions about. So that's where it gets more difficult. But you're also absolutely correct that when you go back to the tape, which is what interested you in that player in the first place, that's where you ought to be able to get a lot of your answers that you require.
You know, I wonder, Brad, and I think we wonder about a lot of different things during this strange time, but if this works out, if teams draft better, might they seek less of those meetings? Might they seek less of that in-person stuff and rely more on the tape than in previous years?
I don't know about that, because I think we've all seen it, especially the last 20 years or so. A lot of these NFL clubs operate with the idea that, the harder they work, the longer they work,
right,
the greater edge they're going to have on their opponent. And so it creates this culture where coaches, other people,
right,
in the building, are showing up before 5 a.m. and leaving after 11 p.m. And it just... It kind of creates this cycle and this monster, and it's if we're not doing this, the next guy is, and they're going to get an edge on us. So I would tend to doubt that this would lead teams potentially to have less scrutiny to the draft process, or rely more on video or anything that could be that an old school football guy would view as a potential cutting of a corner.
Brad, the league keeps making news, and the headlines are interesting out in L.A., and I know he's an ex-Bear, but Leonard Floyd seems to be potentially stuck in a bit of a jam. And the Rams have gone ahead and they signed him to that one-year $10 million contract, but they did that when they thought some other deals were going to be made, Michael Brockers, etc. It appears from what you're reading over the weekend, at least what I saw, that Floyd had not yet taken his physical or passed it, or maybe they just haven't been able to do it for obvious reasons. Does he face some limbo there? Is there any scenario where he gets back onto the market and has to maybe start the process all over again?
I don't think so. I'd be surprised if that happened. I don't think there's any reason out there why Leonard Floyd wouldn't pass a physical for the Rams or really any other team. So that's the only reason I think a deal would fall apart. If a team were to try to back out of something now, that would be a really bad look. And Leonard's represented by a agency that's way too big for something like that not to have huge ramifications for the club. So I think Leonard's going to have a spot out there, and it'll be interesting to see, what he does on a one-year prove-it deal, because you figured that's probably what was next for him to try to get that bigger contract. So you get that short deal, you go out there, you're in a new city with a new team, a defense that he's going to be somewhat familiar with, in that he's got a relationship with the first-year coordinator out there, Brandon Staley, and you wait and see what Leonard can do.
It's fascinating to look at the Cam Newton situation. He obviously posted a video of a workout, and he looked great. And again, I think we all couldn't look good in a workout without actually playing, but at least David can, according to Dustin. But more curious about it was that Tyrod Taylor went ahead and posted a photo of him and Cam Newton working out together. Apparently came out of high school at the same time, came out of college at the same time, are buds. And maybe Tyrod Taylor, who is now QB1 in with the Chargers, everyone's speculating that means that he's going to be competing with Cam Newton, and he says he has no regrets about posting it, but it does indicate that maybe Cam Newton winds up there. We talked this morning about the idea that the Bears moved quickly with Foles. Should they have waited and seen this video of Cam Newton?
Cam Newton could post a daily video for a month, and NFL teams aren't going to pay a whole lot of attention to him. What NFL teams want with Cam Newton is their doctors to check him out, to check out the Lisfranc injury that cost him this past season, to check out the surgically repaired right shoulder, which was impacting his ability to throw the ball before the Lisfranc injury last August. So the videos are great. I think what you've got right now is a super motivated Cam Newton, a guy that feels like he was screwed over by the Carolina Panthers, a guy that has now got a chip on that surgically repaired shoulder, a former MVP who wants to prove that he's still a legitimate QB1 and one of the better quarterbacks in the National Football League. But the doctors are going to need to sign off on him for a team to feel like, yeah, this guy can still sling it, and yeah, he can still move around relatively well, also coming off the Lisfranc. I think the Chargers certainly loom as one of those teams that could be a landing spot for Cam Newton, because they've got right now Tyrod Taylor and Easton Stick, who Dave's very familiar with, would be the backup right now. A lot of people anticipate the Chargers to potentially use a high draft pick on one of the quarterbacks next month.
So, Brad, I was pleased that I was still able to retrieve your mailbag from a socially acceptable distance, and in it, it was chock full of good stuff. One of the questions asked you about Jacob Eason, one of the quarterbacks who has been projected in the first round, and you were asked, if he drops to the second round, do you think the Bears would pass on him or take him? And I think this is the question that we'll be kind of revisiting at times over the next few weeks. But you answer, and I think it's an interesting one, and I tend to agree with you. You say that as much as Eason is a big guy with a big arm, he's not going to help the Bears win in 2020. And you believe, as I kind of do, the franchise will commit their resources in round two to help the roster right away. Now, I agree with that, but it also suggests that without a fourth-round pick, Ryan Pace is unlikely to draft a quarterback once again, right?
Yeah, I don't know how the Bears can take a quarterback in round two and completely address some of these positions that they immediately need help for, right? Because they lack the draft pick in round three. They have no pick in round four. So you've got two picks in round two. Now, potentially, you can play, let's make a deal here and say that maybe Pace trades one of those round two picks and picks up, I don't know, a 3 and a 4, a 3 and a 5. Still, I just think there's pressing needs at some of these other positions, and they want to get help for right now. You take a quarterback, I don't care if it's in round two or whatever, that guy's not going to help the 2020 Chicago Bears win football games, and they believe the window for them to compete for a championship remains open. That's why they went out and got Nick Foles. They think he's the kind of guy that could provide a spark and a maybe more importantly than a spark, some consistency to his performance with that defense, and they can win games and maybe win the division, and then you see what happens in the playoffs. So that's why I just don't see them being able to take a quarterback in round two if an Eason's there or a Jalen Hurts or a name your quarterback in that round.
Yeah, I'm with you, Brad. I think when you get to the second round, I think those two picks have to be win-now players. I think one of them has to be a secondary member because they're short there, and I think one of them has to be someone that helps them score a touchdown. I think that they, you know, this idea that they're going to somehow learn to run the ball or do something, they don't score. They have to score. As much as we laugh about the Jimmy Graham thing because they gave him money that that no one else seemed interested in giving him, and I just think that they signed him because they think he can get 10 touchdowns this year, and I think he's a red zone weapon, and they look at their team and they see that they can't score points, and that's what everything is about.
Yeah, and I'm with you on the secondary. I think they need a cornerback, and although they've added Artie Burns, a former first-round pick of the Steelers, to a one-year deal, shape your expectations for Artie Burns based on his contract, which is a minimum deal for just over $1 million. So you've got Artie Burns right now with that right cornerback position, Kevin Tolliver, former undrafted free agent. I'm not saying neither one of those guys could potentially have that starting job. I just think the Bears would feel a whole lot better. Chuck Pagano, the coordinator, would feel better if they get a prospect that they like in round two to add to the mix there. It's been forever since the Bears have taken a cornerback with a higher draft pick. You've got to go all the way back to 2014 when Kyle Fuller was the first-round pick. Since then, I don't believe they've taken a cornerback above, I want to say, round five in the draft. That's off the top of my head if you consider DeAndre Hall a safety. So, and then I can't disagree with you either on a guy that helps them get in the end zone with the other pick. Scoring's the issue. You guys could turn the phone lines on to offensive line people for the rest of the show, and they would scream their heads off that they've got to get offensive linemen, but they lack playmakers. You know, yes. Vic Fangio a couple of years talked about their so-called good players, and when he was referring to some of the defensive guys, let's talk about the so-called playmakers on that Bears offense. They've talked about them like these are dynamic guys, one of the worst scoring outfits in the entire league.
Right.
Good stuff, Brad.
Change. Thank you, Brad.
All right, guys. Stay safe, gentlemen.
You too.
312-644-6767. It's Mully and Hall on the Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You know, for me, now is the time with the type of team that Ryan Pace has built, you know, to be able to be a piece that might fit in to making that happen is what's special to me and why I wanted to be in Chicago.
I guess. Okay.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 in the Score. If you're Jimmy Graham, why wouldn't you want to be here? You got a guy that wants to pay you, and Jimmy wants to be in Chicago, David.
It's familiar, it's comfortable, it's lucrative, and I don't know that anybody else was going to give him the financial guarantee, Mully. And, you know, last week while you were off, Jimmy Graham had his teleconference that they arranged for Bears media, and on it he sounded like a guy who was thrilled to be coming to Chicago from Green Bay. And he sounded like a guy committed to proving some people wrong. He sounded the part, Mully, but he's also an NFL veteran. And he would be the first to tell you he knows how the game works. He knows that words only go so far and eventually actions kind of speak louder. And it reminded me, and this is probably not a good comparison, but we have seen, you know, accomplished NFL veterans come to Chicago, sound great on the day they arrived, and then not back it up. And Jared Allen came to mind for me. I hope this isn't a Jared Allen-like experiment. I hope they get more out of Jimmy Graham. But we didn't see that guy. We didn't see the speed that he spoke of last year in Green Bay. So I think I'm going to remain skeptical until proven otherwise.
Listen, Jimmy Graham is never been a guy that's helped anyone in the running game. He was even at the height of his talent, he wasn't a guy that was considered a blocker in any fashion, right? So why did they do this? What is the point of this? Well, you know, he's a grass basketball player. He's a big dude, and he can go up and get the ball, and they feel that they've got to score, and he's a weapon in the red zone, period, end of story. I think it's as simple as that. That in order for Matt Nagy to run his scheme, he's got to have a tight end that he can go to on big downs in important situations, and they feel that Jimmy, with his size, can be able to do that. Now, you know, the great chicken or egg question you come up with the Bears is whether it's Mitch that was not the good trigger man that they couldn't score, or the weaponry wasn't good enough, and you got to get guys around him that are better. And I know that everybody says, you've got to improve the offensive line, we got to work on the offensive line. Why? They're not going to run the ball, they're going to throw the ball. So I'm just saying, you don't need to overpower anybody. Yeah. You know, I know they got a guy coming in now, a new offensive line coach that likes giant bodies, and that's one of the reasons they went out and made a way to move it at potentially a right guard position. So I understand that, but I want to know who are the big playmakers? Who's scoring the points? You got rid of Taylor Gabriel, you don't have a speed guy, you got to get that.
Jimmy Graham is here to make plays and score touchdowns. You're right, but yeah. I always go back to this. We talk about when guys leave the Patriots, what's wrong with them? Because if Belichick didn't want them, why are they on the street, and how much can you expect? Because if he gave up on, he must know something. And along the same lines, it's different but the same. Aaron Rodgers let Jimmy Graham out of Green Bay. Now, he's not the assistant general manager, but he isn't the assistant offensive coordinator either, but he still has a big input into those decisions. And I can't imagine that if Jimmy Graham or if Aaron Rodgers wanted Jimmy Graham to remain in Green Bay, that he wouldn't still be in Green Bay. So what's wrong with him? He's 33. He's not the same explosive player. And as you point out, he doesn't help you in the running game. Mully, I know what you're saying about scoring touchdowns. And this is like, to me, this is a really fun, fundamental football discussion, because you think that it doesn't matter what you do to the offensive line, that you need game breakers, you need playmakers, you need guys who can get behind a defense. True. But I still think, I'm always going to believe, I think that it starts up front. And if you have that pass protection, if you take care of your offensive line, then some of your marginal receivers will have more time to get open. They'll look better because your quarterback will be more efficient in the play-action passing game. And I think that's why you need to emphasize the offensive line over a playmaker in the second round of the draft, for instance, because that is where it all starts.
Well, I believe in what you're saying. I just don't believe it with this particular scheme. I don't believe it with this particular play caller. I think, David, that by all accounts, this is as good a wide receiver class as we have seen in a very long time. And mm-hmm. as you scour all these mock drafts, you don't see any tight ends going in the first round. So I'm not saying that you got to take a receiver, but guess what? You got to take a weapon in the second round. You got to take somebody that can look at everything they've done, right?
Right.
The only way to win right now is get someone who can score a touchdown or stop a touchdown. So they've gotten rid of Leonard Floyd and replaced him in order to try to stop a team from scoring touchdowns. And the belief is that that will help the secondary. I still believe they need help in the secondary, but they have this idea that the pass rush, and I like that idea because Mac will get better. Quinn helps that. And obviously Akeem coming back will make both those guys better. So you got a lot going on up front. It looks pretty good to me. I don't know where the points are coming from. So they went out and got Jimmy Graham. They've gotten some help on the offensive line. I mean, again, you got a guy that's had 60 starts. I know a team didn't pick up his option year, so I don't know what that means. I don't know how to view that, but they didn't want to pay him, I suppose. You got to get someone who can score. You got to be able – why did Kansas City win the Super Bowl? This guy's model is Kansas City. They had speed like beyond belief, right?
And that's exceptional speed, though. I mean, you find Tyreek Hill once every blue moon in the draft, and we know how much of a generational talent Patrick Mahomes is. Yeah, that is the model. I think that's almost the exception to the rule, but you have to kind of, yeah, you need explosiveness, and the Bears don't have it. You know, you mentioned Jermaine Ifedi, and I think that he's a guy that I'm curious to get your take on because you said you don't know what to expect, but he did start 60 games for a pretty good offensive football team, for a pretty good offensive coaching staff, and when you look at him, Molly, he does fit the profile, and you're exactly right when you talk to people around the league. This new offensive line coach, Juan Castillo, he likes what a lot of offensive line coaches are favoring now. Big guys in the interior. Ifedi is 6'5", 311 pounds, with a history mostly at right tackle. But you could see him fitting in, or at least given the opportunity to win the right guard job, couldn't you?
I talked to a friend of mine who's a scout, and he said phone booth player. He's not capable of really doing a lot in space, which is why mm-hmm. he ran into problems at the tackle position. Now, normally, you know, the great athlete has to be at left tackle, and your right tackle is kind of the giant engulfing player. And this guy he's like 6'6", 330. I mean, this is a big man. So you move him inside, and now he's back in a phone booth, and you're talking about trying to get past or overpower a guy that is just so damn large that's going to help him keeping interior rushers at bay. So I think it's a fine signing for the Bears. I like the signing. I think 60 games, although obviously most of them were at the right tackle position, you know, you got to see how he looks in the interior. And I don't know, you know, Rashard Coward or Alex Bars, I don't know how the development of those players is going, or how the offensive line coach feels about those guys. So I think that he's coming into a situation where his experience and his size play to his advantage. Now, those other guys are big guys too, but we don't know where they are in their development, and we know this guy's played 60 games.
If Fetty's history with penalties raises the red flag, the yellow flag raises the red flag,
yes.
But I think that you have to look at, can that be coached? Is that discipline? Is that going to come with experience? And this guy is going to be on a one-year prove-it deal. And to me, and I don't want to overstate, you know, his experience, but he did play in meaningful games. He did play for a quarterback who knows what he's doing. He's been in huddles where, you know, he's had to, you know, okay, guys, we have one drive. This is what you got to do. And he's gotten it done. He's been part of offenses that have been successful. So he's coming out of Seattle, though, branded as a bust because he was a former first-round pick. Sure. So I think he does have something to prove here. Molly, I knew you would love this because last week after they signed Ifedi, this was the stat being thrown around in reference to what the Bears have done this offseason. Ryan Pace now has accumulated more first-round draft picks that other people have made than guys the Bears have drafted in the first round.
Yeah, that's not a surprising statistic. And, you know, again, the first round label is a blessing and a curse, right? I mean, if a guy isn't quite up to the level that you think he is, he's a bust if you don't pick up the option year. The guy did play. He did line up and play. So it's not like he was a complete failure. When you talk about the penalties, David, I mean, don't you believe that a lot of that stuff is created by a discomfort in the position you're playing? Will he be more comfortable on the inside, not
Good
worrying
point.
About speed rushers, so you're trying to get into your stance early, or grabbing onto a guy because you know you're not fast enough and he's gotten around you? I think this could be a very helpful signing. And I think that you're more likely to start a guy with that kind of experience than a young developing guy until you get a better feel for where his athleticism is.
So maybe bust was a little harsh, but I have to share the best nickname I heard last week shared by a texter in reference to all of the flags, and he's joining the Bears. He is now Charles Leno Jr. Jr.
Oh, boy. See, you know, that's a very interesting thing, because by all accounts, Charles Leno Jr., the original Leno Jr., is incapable of really playing inside because he's more of an athletic guy than a big guy. So I'm really curious to see how Juan Castillo looks at that and how, if any move is made in the draft. And, you know, I don't know, David. I'm not sure that they're going offensive line in the second round. I think they might feel like they got the former first-round pick, and that covers them. Now, you know, in terms of the swing tackle, is he the swing tackle? Are you actually going to go into a season where you're making two moves for one? Are they satisfied with what they have at that position? I think they feel like they have a starting offensive line now. And I wonder if the more pressing issue becomes getting the playmaker, because a wide receiver, again, this is a win now team. Everyone they've signed is win now. And you would think Ryan Pace is win now as a result of all that. So do they need a weapon? I'm going to be very curious. I think it's a wide receiver and a corner, a secondary member and a weapon. So
that's an interesting combination, because I think that our buddy Brad Biggs is coming out with his mock draft later on ChicagoTribune.com. Would not surprise me if he's leaning in that direction as well.
He sounded like it when we talked to him.
He did.
All right. Let's we're going to get to Porter Mosier next. We're going to talk to the Loyola Ramblers head coach. It is the anniversary of their elimination from one of the glorious Final Four runs. I actually taped that game, David. I was at that game, as you know. I have a wonderful photo of the two of us at that game. You were working. I was in the stands with my buddy Bob Napleton. He took the photo. And I taped that game, and I never watched it. I came back. I watched the game live, obviously, but I didn't have the heart to go back and watch that game. I'll be curious to see if Porter spent much time with it. We'll bring him in next. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score. Oh, you got to stand at attention when you hear that song. Go Ramblers. We are delighted to have Porter Mosier join us on the Al Pamani Ford Hotline. Al Pamani Ford in Melrose Park. Porter, of course, the head coach of the Loyola Ramblers. Porter, good morning. How are you?
Good morning,
What's
Porter.
What's up, boys? How you doing?
You know, we're getting morning, through Molly, it like Dave. Everyone else.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's. you know, I was just telling David, I obviously went to the Final Four game and it was just glorious and what an amazing run. And when I read the story in the Tribune, I went back and just watched. It's still out there on YouTube, the highlights of all those last second shots and just the amazing, amazing finish. But I had taped that Michigan game and I came home and I found, you know, I didn't watch it. And eventually I just kind of deleted it. And I said to David, we have to ask you how much time you spent with that. How did you handle that after the fact?
So we're going to start the interview that way, huh? Talk about the Michigan game. All right, Molly, we'll just go right there. No, I tell you, it's funny because I've done the same thing just to get my fix. I've watched a lot of the games as a coach. Sometimes we get a version sometimes that's a non-TV version. Or if we do get a TV version, that I don't listen to telecast. I've never listened to the telecast of any of the NCAA tournament games. So just to get my fix, when all this started, I popped in the Miami game. And I sat on my couch and I was watching it like the whole telecast. Because I got copies of, and I was like, all right. I was like the Netflix thing. All right, next episode, where's the Tennessee game? And I started pushing it in like that, wanting to go. But I haven't gotten to the Michigan game. And I'll tell you, I've watched that game. I've watched that game more than any of the other games, like, just because I just have. I didn't for the first year. It took me a year to watch it. And I think the hard part of that was, and it put me right back in the moment watching game to game. What the hard part of that Michigan game was is that everybody asked me, and I've been on a ton of interviews the last 10 days because everybody's looking for stories, and this is a kind of a cool one because it's the anniversary of the NCAA tournament. But the thing that I've been asked was, did you think you were ever going to the Final Four? And my answer then and now was no. We set out to really make this program relevant, to win championships, to get to the NCAA tournament, to be good, to be relevant, to do it the right way. And then when we got into the tournament, you can listen to all my interviews. Everything was about, like, we can beat Miami. And then we beat Miami, and then we're like, we can beat Tennessee. It was then Nevada, and then Kansas State. It was one after the other. So what made it hard was we really felt we were going to beat Michigan. Like, we felt everything in our heart. We felt it. We were really confident. We were we were good. And that's what hurt so much was that is that we really felt we were going to beat them and go to play for the national championship.
Porter, I've been covering college sports for about 30 years now, and I was a college athlete myself, and I can't remember ever covering a college experience any more fun or satisfying than that Final Four run was from Loyola and your team. And I think it was partly because, and I've thought about this a lot since it happened, was it just because the pure joy with which your players played and with the way that you coached and the way that you, what it represented to so many people, not only part of your program, but part of the university, part of the city, part of college sports landscape. And I know that there was so many different people got so much out of it. In terms of what it meant for your program, since that happened, 2 years ago today was you were at the top of the mountain. And in that time period, in that 2 years since, have you taken advantage of it the way that you wanted to? And in what ways have you taken advantage of it the most?
Well, I think the first part was of the how we did it is we set out to get winners, to get high character guys, and it really came through. The closeness and to have a close knit family group, and our program is that way, and we've continued to do it that way. But that's what really came out and the country saw is that unselfishness. It was interesting. I had a recruit say to me the other day, and he's like, "I want to go somewhere where the whole world's going to get to know who I am." Literally, that was the quote, and I said. I said, well, before I hang up and end this conversation, I'm going to say, you know, look at our guys. You know, they didn't set out to have the whole world know who they were, but they were part of something bigger than themselves. They were part of a team, and then the whole world got to know who they were. And it's you got to focus on what the process of getting to where you want to go. But I think that that journey with the people, to say, did we get out of it? Yeah, I got relationships for life. I got things that connected the university for life. I mean, the pride in Loyola 2 years removed is at an all-time high. Their vision of growing everything, the campus, the athletic department, everything, is on an all-time high. And I'll tell you what really meant something to me a lot, because the how it connected the city of Chicago and how cool Chicago got behind us. That's some of my favorite clips to watch, is to watch the bars, the restaurants, the news, the city, the streets. That's so much fun for me. But last week, everybody was looking for different brackets to fill out, and everybody was having these made-up brackets of what do you like better, this or this. And I saw one, I think WGN did it. It was about the Chicago sports moments, and they had a Sweet 16. And I grew up the biggest diehard Chicago sports fan. I was Bulls, Blackhawks, Bears, Cubs. I had the posters in my room of Peyton, and I had the Andre Dawson, Michael Jordan, Walter Peyton in tuxedo, Chicago's finest poster in my room growing up. And to listen the brackets, they had the Cubs, they had the Bears 85 World Series, and it put me right back into that moment when I was with my high school buddies watching the Super Bowl run. The Blackhawks, both goals in 90 seconds. I put me right back into, you know, in the crowds watching it as a fan. The Cubs World Series, the moments, the White Sox, and the Bulls, all the Jordan stuff. And then it had Loyola's 2018 run. And I just got chills going, those moments were like huge parts of my life. And as a Chicago sports fan, and to be included, even just included in that list, in that bracket, that meant a ton to me, and I know it does with all the people that went on our journey with us.
It was absolutely extraordinary. I mean, it really is one of the great stories in the history of the NCAA tournament. And, you know, every year now people are like, who could be this year's Loyola? And I think that's one of the embittering elements of losing the NCAA tournament this year, is it's not about how the Blue Bloods do, but it's about how programs that have built to a moment do. And I think it's just, you know, we've lost something. You know, everybody can put out a fake bracket about who could win the NCAA tournament and who's the best team, but we don't know. And I think that's been proven. I think that the game has changed to a point where there is so much more balance to college basketball than maybe we've ever really seen. And there's many reasons for that. Obviously, the players bolting to the NBA early and the kind of blue blood programs not being able to keep guys in school. But it's also, I mean, you did an absolutely incredible job with that group. And, you know, watching that and walking down the street in San Antonio, and I went by the hotel and they had a different car for each of the four schools. And there's like this, I don't even know what kind of car it was, all Loyola. And I was just like, this is extraordinary. How do I steal this thing?
Yeah, that is funny. That car we did, we were in a private charter. And when I say private charter, it was like on a 250, it was like one of the charters that you'd fly from Chicago to LA on. And they pulled it into a hangar and you got off. And then there was a band, there was a carpet, a band inside this hangar. You're walking through this band, and you get, and there's four cars sitting there. We were the first team to arrive. It was Michigan, Villanova, Kansas, and ours. There were white convertibles all decked out, and they let you get in. I mean, I remember that, Molly, that convertible that you're talking about. But I do think watching, I was asked this a bunch during the year, watching throughout the year. They're like, what do you think of the NCAA tournament? Who's your pick? And I'm like, this is going to be crazy because of the balance. Anybody can beat anybody. And what people ask me all the time, like, how do you feel for some of these teams not to get the opportunity? And of course you do. I said, but I feel more for the teams like a Hofstra. Joe Mahalik is a friend of mine. Like, Hofstra had to win their tournament. They had a great year. They won their tournament. They're getting in, and now they don't. Some of the Blue Bloods, the power conferences, were going to get in. They're waiting, you know, they're the ninth seed. They were, you know, 10-10 in their league, and they're about to go. I feel awful for those guys. But the ones that really, because it is so hard to, when you got to punch that ticket to win that your conference tournament, and then you do it, and then you can't. That's very hard. And I was asked this a lot, too. You know, one of the hardest parts of our entire journey was the Missouri Valley tournament. That is so hard, the pressure. We were constantly asked, are you getting in? Are you going to be an at-large? And that's the elephant in the room with us. Like, we knew we had to go in there and win those three games. Every game was a grind. And I remember getting done with that and going, you know what, we're going to do good, man. Now we felt loose and free because the Valley is just such a grind. You play every, you know, by that time you're playing them three times in the tournament. And to get through that, and then obviously you're going to the NCAA tournament, That's why I think this is a great stat. Up until last year, when Bradley lost to Michigan State, which they gave him a great game, it was a very close game, and Michigan State ended up going to the Final Four. The previous 10 first-round games, the Missouri Valley was 10-0 in those games. 10-0.
Incredible.
In the previous
– wow.
Because getting through that conference tournament at our level, it becomes such a release, it becomes such a free to go into the tournament, and that's what makes the NCAA tournament fun, and I wish more teams had those bids to get into the tournament like that, because we felt way freer than we did going into that conference tournament, because we all knew the elephant in the room. You had to win those three games.
Porter, obviously difficulties are ahead for you. The challenges of navigating a program through this pandemic creates a whole set of circumstances nobody ever anticipated. You still have to recruit. You still have to look ahead. You still have to plan. When you do that, I mean, obviously you lose some seniors. Where do you stand on the eligibility issue? Because that could affect rosters throughout the NCAA. I know the NCAA Division I Council will vote today and discuss spring sports eligibility relief for those athletes who had their entire season wiped out. But it's been suggested among some of your peers in college basketball that maybe they should have the same kind of discussion for seniors who were deprived the right to play in the NCAA tournament. What do you think?
Well, that has been a hot topic. I do think, to start with the spring sports, I think the spring sports should be given another year. I mean, they didn't get to play. I mean, they didn't play the whole year. And what I liked what them saying is, if they give the eligibility, they're going to give it to everybody. I think right away everybody's emotions came out and said, hey, give the seniors in the fall sports another year. And then afterwards, you know, you let the dust settle and you started saying, well, what is that going to look like? What would that look like? And there's a lot of moving parts to give just the seniors. If you're going to give the fall sports an extra year eligibility, I think you should give all the athletes. Because what about that son of yours or daughter of yours or, you know, or that kid that's a sophomore playing behind a senior waiting his turn? He's the eighth or ninth guy and he's waiting his turn. And all of a sudden now he loses another year because he's going to still be the eighth or ninth guy behind that guy. What about you had three seniors and you signed three guys early? You signed three players early. Now, I mean, what are you going to let them go? Everybody go over the scholarship limit? You know, because you planned for that. You signed three guys, and there's three guys leaving. I just think it's there's a lot of moving parts. I feel horrible. There's a lot of bad things that's happened to a lot of people that are worse. You know, that's the one thing, and I know you guys feel the same way. We're talking sports to keep sane, you know, to keep normal, and that's what we do. But I think you guys would be the same thing. Is there's a lot of people out there going through some tough things, whether it's with their job, with their putting food on the table, losing their business, people ready to retire. And so there's a lot of things. And this is one of them that's a byproduct of what we're going through. So I feel so much for those fall sports. I just think there's a lot of moving parts to just give the seniors another opportunity. And it's a very, very tricky thing. But my stance is I do believe the spring sports, who didn't even get to play, the baseballs, the softballs, the different outdoor sports track, they didn't even get to start it up. And, I mean, I do think that's fair because they blanket give everybody that.
It's a great point. Porter, thanks a ton. Great catching up with you. A lot of happy memories always talking about this stuff. So thank you.
Happy anniversary.
All right, guys. Take care. Hey, thanks a lot, guys. We'll see you.
That is Porter Moser. David, you just said happy anniversary. It's the anniversary
it
is. Of their loss.
It's a celebration of what they did, right?
Okay. It's just they had two injuries in that game, and they were winning that game. They could have won that game, man. He's right. They could
be nice.
Really should have been playing for the national championship. But you know what? It was an unbelievable run. It just it would have been very interesting to see him play Villanova.
Allow yourself to watch it tonight. Allow yourself to grieve, Molly. It's 2 years this time.
You know what? I watch it. I feel happy, man. I always feel happy. You know that. All right. We'll be right back with your calls. 312-644-6767. It's Molly and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio. 6-7 to the score.
Oh, O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!